This episode of What If Discussed is brought to you by Manscaped.
So, Peter, I've asked you this before, but sort of a different time, so I'll ask you again, how are you doing?
You mean in terms of pandemic and my mental acuity? Well, it's kind of a loaded question in these times. I guess all things considered, I'm doing all right, at least outwardly facing. But, you know, the pandemic's been tougher on some people more than others.
Yeah. I mean, it's 8 to 9 months into what's, you know, it's almost a cliche now to say unprecedented times, but it is. But now, as you know, many people, depending on where you live in the world, are also facing sort of second waves, you know, new lockdowns, sort of starting to reacclimate themselves to what potentially could be a tough winter, right? With lockdowns, isolation. But it depends who you are, because you have heightened anxiety about your health, about your family's health, about your financial situation. There's a lot going on. It's tough.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit anxious knowing that we're heading into about, I don't know that we're necessarily heading into a lockdown in this city, but we're certainly heading into 6 months of winter where I'm going to be inside, not speaking with a lot of people face to face.
And we already have heard over the last X amount of years, I don't know, 5, 10 years is kind of when I remember the word starting, or the acronym SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Is that it?
Yeah, that's what it stands for.
So that's something we've started to understand more. So again, without getting too in depth about it, I mean, essentially, it's kind of what happens when the days get shorter, but also you don't get outside more.
Oh, the days are getting shorter. My gosh.
Yes. And then the sun, although interestingly, breaking news, hopefully something we can report here in the coming weeks, there is the contemplation of not putting the clocks backwards or forwards?
Canceling daylight savings, which I have been a proponent of for the last 25 years.
Well, if not now, when?
Yeah, exactly. This is the time to do it. Please.
I could almost see like people revolting if they don't do it, but it's a tool in the toolbox that governments should seriously consider. But seasonal affective disorder is something that, again, depending on who you are, and you know, some people suffer more than others, but now as you enter a specific time where you're like, okay, wait a sec. Seasonal affective disorder, plus I'm going to be in lockdown a lot. This recipe for a lot of people is pretty scary.
Loss of sunlight, loss of vitamin D. And now a lot of people are saying, you know, what if we're in lockdown throughout the winter? How challenging would that be?
Well, it's an understandable question. And it's one I've had. I've been in conversations where people are literally asking that, like, man, this is really freaking me out. So obviously, when we're faced with a situation like that, we'd like to obviously be able to use science and also be able to provide hopefully some helpful guidance to people when possible. And in this particular case, I think we literally are bringing on today the person who not only coined the term seasonal affective disorder, SAD, but also literally wrote the book on the subject, Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal.
Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal is a world-renowned researcher and psychiatrist who led the team who first described seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. He's also a sought-after public speaker and a best-selling author who's known for his innovative research and inspirational writings. He's currently the clinical professor of psychiatry at Georgetown University School of Medicine and is listed as one of the best doctors in America. Dr. Rosenthal has written over 200 scholarly articles and authored or co-authored 8 popular books, including Winter Blues, the New York Times bestseller Transcendence, and the Los Angeles Times bestseller The Gift of Adversity.
Dr. Rosenthal, thank you for joining us today on What If Discussed.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
So we wanted to have you on for a couple of reasons. One is that many people these days are wary of what looks like, at least in the West, a long-term lockdown, possibly a couple of months, possibly into the spring. So you combine that with the winter months and you have people concerned about how that could affect people, could have a mental health crisis. So You are the person who literally coined the term seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, you and your team. And you're also somebody who writes a lot about how to deal with it and how to inspire the ability of many people to feel better during these times. So first of all, let's start with SAD. What is SAD?
Well, it is a condition where the days are getting shorter and darker, and some people are very susceptible behaviorally and emotionally to those changes. They begin to feel a low energy level. They have a hard time waking up in the morning. Everything seems to lose that special luster that it had in the summertime. They lose enthusiasm. And sometimes it gets even worse than that. They overeat, they oversleep, and they can lose their ability to function optimally. Their work suffers, their personal relationships suffer, and they can end up feeling very down and depressed and anxious. So there's a spectrum ranging from the mild to the severe. I've given you a more severe picture, but that is the full-blown seasonal affective disorder, or SAD.
How does it differ from just regular depression? Is it just that it's in different seasons, or is there something else to it?
Yes, its clue is that it occurs seasonally, as you know, we're now entering the autumn. So if somebody's been very well through the summer and they suddenly begin to feel not so well, all the things I've described, then they may think that they have seasonal affective disorder. And then I say, think back. How did you feel last Thanksgiving? How did you feel at Christmas time? If you weren't the life and soul of the party, if you just resented all those Christmas chores and didn't enjoy all the things that we are supposed to celebrate at that time of the year, maybe you have seasonal affective disorder and not just regular depression.
You've been treating people for over three decades now, 30 years, and been on the cutting edge of research in the field of mental health. Suffice to say, you are tapped into the collective psyche. What are your patients telling you these days about these unprecedented times?
Well, even before the seasonal affective disorder kicked in, and now I'm hearing from my patients that they're beginning to feel it, certainly here in the Mid-Atlantic region. Up north, they've probably felt it for a while, and down south, they probably aren't feeling it yet. But what I hear and have heard is that there are tremendous emotional stresses involved in the COVID story. And obviously, people are in different situations. Some people have a really terrible time. They're living in congregate living, where there are a lot of people around at close quarters, and for them, it's a very scary time. People have lost their jobs. People are dealing with all kinds of very difficult circumstances, maybe have lost loved ones or friends. But even for those people who haven't suffered the worst of COVID, it's a challenge because we've lost a lot of the things that we came to love and depend upon: eating out, traveling, hugging our children, our grandchildren, dating if we're single, the idea of romance. All of these things, our style has been crimped in regard to all of these things. And a lot of people are sort of throwing caution to the wind and having these connections in groups closely connected with each other, but then a lot of them are coming down sick. And we've heard the plaintive messages on TV, I wish I'd listened, it really is worse than you think. And then, it's a very variable illness. Some people hardly get ill at all, and that can fool you, and some people get very, very ill. So it's an unexpected thing that we're dealing with. We don't know what we're dealing with, and so there's fear and anxiety and deprivation. That's what we're dealing with on top of the seasonal affective disorder.
I know a lot of the work that you are doing these days is obviously focused around helping people deal with the times we find ourselves in. We talked about SAD already. We talked about the potential of a real mental health challenges going into the winter months. What are some of the things or anything specific that you're telling people tips-wise to help them cope with the challenges that they're facing right now?
Well, I think that as the revered psychiatrist Viktor Frankl said, you can take anything away from a person, but his or her choice to view a situation in his or her own way. How you view a situation makes all the difference to how you deal with it. So I think that if you look at what you have, your circumstances, and say, okay, this is reality, I have to accept it. It's no point saying, well, I wish there weren't an epidemic, I wish there were not a pandemic. You know, that doesn't help anybody. It's much better to say, look, this is the situation we're dealing with. How can we do the best job of it? And then once you've faced up to that, then there are several things that I have found to be really helpful. The first is to maintain structure in your day. You're going to bed, you're waking up, do it on time. Make your bed in the morning. Let your place look lived in and decent, not like a college dorm. And then exercise is fantastic because it's part of the body's way of tuning itself up. Eat properly. And I meditate. I find that meditation is an amazing tool to help me get through. And then I use light. Light in the morning and dark in the evening fortifies your circadian rhythms, those daily clock-like processes that go on unconsciously in our bodies. Every cell has a little clock in it, and there's a master cell in the brain that orchestrates all these cells, and they make our sleeping, our waking as efficient as possible. So work with your circadian rhythms, and light and dark are powerful stimuli that cue your circadian rhythms. So once you're doing all those things, you're keeping your structure normal, that's step number one.
In your book, The Gift of Adversity, it's subtitled The Unexpected Benefits of Life's Difficulties, Setbacks, and Imperfections. How would you say this applies to the times we find ourselves in now?
Well, it's a great question. What is it that we cannot do now? We can't go out, we can't eat out, we can't socialize. We're pretty much stuck. So in my own case, for example, I've wanted to write a book for a long, long time on the healing powers of poetry. It's just been a love of mine all my life, and I never really got around to it. But now, with all the time that I have, in terms of not doing the things I just mentioned, it's the first time I've actually knuckled down, and I'm nearly done with that book. So that is an example. But everybody's going to be different. I talked recently to a woman who was supposed to have her child get to teaching online, and the teaching fell through for the day. And she thought, well, why don't we bake cupcakes? So they baked cupcakes. That's a little mini example. But these are just two tiny examples of an infinite variety of things that we can do if we're creative. My clients, some of them are starting to paint. Some of them are learning to sing. All of these things, incidentally, can be facilitated online. One of them is making jewelry. The opportunities for a creative and inventive person are endless. So I would say, don't just see it as an unmitigated disaster. Think about it as an opportunity to do things that you may always have wanted to do, but never actually got around to.
There's going to be a lot of fallout, legacy, collateral damage, however you want to term it, of this particular period that we're in, and especially in your field in the area of psychiatry and helping people deal with whether it's PTSD, whatever that is. This feels like there'll be even new areas of study post-COVID and perhaps pre other things down the line. What do you anticipate some of those new fields of study might be?
Well, I think that all kinds of new opportunities are going to come out of this pandemic. For example, we know that a lot of people are realizing that they can work very well from home. So I know a colleague who runs a large company, and 70% of their people say they don't want to go back to work after the COVID is over. And I think a lot of people are feeling that way. And then, of course, a lot of corporations are licking their lips at the idea of not having to retain so much real estate with people working at home. And then, of course, that then creates a challenge for people who are holding that real estate. So the whole society has this ripple effect going through it based on these new discoveries. For example, my own practice has now gone totally virtual online. I hope that someday, sooner rather than later, I will be able to see clients in my own office. But I think that all kinds of possibilities are opening up that weren't there before.
I agree. I think it's necessity is the mother of invention. I think the world is going to change a lot of the ways for the better because we have to figure out how to navigate this time. Dr. Rosenthal, you're also sought after as a motivational speaker to inspire people around the world. What are some inspiring words you might be able to leave us with today?
Well, I would say stay connected. Reach out to friends, reach out to family. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Being connected, we know that loneliness is a very toxic state. One thing I'm finding, for example, is people with addictions of all kind can now attend their 12-step meetings or other meetings virtually online. So it makes it very easy, but you don't have to have an addiction in order to access a group. Find a group of people who resonate with you and with whom you can actually make connections. I think that's such an important part. We humans are not meant to be alone. We're meant to, all primates are meant to grow and evolve in groups, in societies. Do something creative. Do something innovative. Do something fun. Fun. Don't squeeze all the fun out of your life. That's what I told a client of mine recently who's working so hard day and night. I said, you're squeezing all the fun out of your life. And that leaves us with a feeling of deprivation that we need to replace with something. So just have fun. Send an unusual gift to somebody that you're thinking about or that you care about. I think we have to invent ourselves, invent our lifestyles, invent our relationships in new ways. So spend a little time being creative. And of course, it's become a buzzword now, gratitude. But it truly is a wonderful state of being. Just checking in with yourself. Some people write a formal gratitude checklist every day. I just keep reminding myself that I'm alive and part of this amazing pageant that is the 21st century with all its horrors and all its nastiness. Nonetheless, a fascinating place to be and a fascinating time to be. So access that carnival to the extent that you can.
So you don't, your prescription isn't Doritos and Netflix necessarily. Occasionally, perhaps. Great words and inspiring, and I think important for people to hear and hear again. And I think the idea of reinventing yourself, taking the opportunity. But in the end, it's really about first step is seeing it as something that can be constructive versus destructive. We really appreciate. Can you stick around? We have a few more questions that we'd like to get to on the audio version. But first, where can people find your work?
Best place is my website, normanrosenthal.com, and the website will access all my social media, the Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, etc. And these are all places you can find me and read about things that I love and things that I know about. I've got a lot of blogs up there. And so please check me out.
And yes, you can purchase the books there as well. We'll be back with Dr. Rosenthal on the other side. Please sit tight, Dr. Rosenthal, and Peter and I will sort of take care of some business and review the first part of the show. For people who want to want to get the audio version, click on the link below, right?
That's right. Well, if you're already listening to the audio version,
you're good.
Don't look around. But for video,
I don't know if I have one or 2 minutes more, but I failed to mention transcendental meditation, which is the kind of meditation that's been quite transformative in my life. And I recommend very, very highly. I've written 2 books on that subject, Transcendence and Supermind. And of course, I have a book called Winter Blues. That's the standard for seasonal affective disorder and the gift of adversity. So these are some things that may provide people with some comfort, inspiration, and new ideas at this time.
Some tools for people looking to deal with difficult times, but not necessarily, depending on your attitude, negative times. It's ultimately about your perspective. Dr. Rosenthal, sit tight. We'll be back after this.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Peter, I believe it's Einstein who once said that the definition of insanity is...
E equals MC squared?
That, I think that's something else.
No.
That's relative. It's all relative.
Insanity is performing a repetitive task over and over and expecting a different result.
Correct. So we sat here, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I believe, and the people at home were treated to you figuring out that, you know what, maybe not shaving for 3 months with my Methuselah-like playoff beard was not the way to go. And you, of course, were saved by?
I was saved by the Lawnmower 3.0 for Manscaped. I shaved everything. I mean, it wasn't that long.
I was sitting here. I did keep it
quite trim, as almost like this, and just shaved a big pile of yuck right there. I'm sorry to disgust everything.
You look better.
Thank you.
You felt better.
I did feel better, and I do feel better, and I'm going to use this Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped to probably keep it trim and maybe even shave the whole thing off.
Well, as we go into another period of isolation and lockdown, and we did talk to Dr. Rosenthal today, there's plenty of things around structure and sort of keeping your life normal in a way that's going to help you deal with the challenges. Mm-hmm. One of those things is definitely not showering, not shaving, getting into the sweats and not getting out of bed. Literally, not only will you look better with the old Lawnmower 3.0 and a clean shave, you'll feel better.
Yeah, you'll feel better. And Manscaped has changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. This complete package comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, a water-resistant cordless body trimmer. Their advanced skin-safe technology and cutting-edge ceramic blade makes your trimming nick-free. And the kit includes an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer to help you feel and smell your best. Subscribers to the Perfect Package 3.0 kit get a new replacement blade delivered to their door every 3 months. And for a limited time, you get not one, but two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. You can get 20% off plus free shipping right now at manscaped.com when you use the promo code WHATIF20. That's WHATIF20.
That's what if 20.
What if 20. All one word.
Well done. Well said.
Thank you.
And it is interesting. It's an easy segue because, again, we're talking about, you know, most of at least the Western world is going into two things. One, probably a second extended lockdown, potentially, however that works and however long that might be. Two, combined with the winter, the fall months and then the winter months, which can be challenging, as we talked about with Dr. Rosenthal, already for people that deal with seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, and now they're staring down six, I mean, depending what hemisphere you live in, and we live in a colder one, we're looking at six, 7 more months of cold, not to depress anybody.
No, but I mean, it is, but again, back to what Dr. Rosenthal talked about, it's avoidance isn't going to work either, right? So, attitude is everything. And I know when you're suffering, and I've dealt with mental health issues, you know, I don't know a lot of people these days who haven't, it can sometimes almost bother you to hear somebody say, just turn the frown upside down, right?
Get lost,
But in this particular case, the good news is it's also accompanied by not necessarily revelatory health tips, because a lot of these you're like, well, they all make sense. But in this particular case, they don't just make sense for your physical health. They make sense for your mental health.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a good point. I think we should not, nobody should be stigmatized by mental health. I think we're getting to this point in the world now that mental health is health and people should be able to talk about it and admit that they're having a hard time. So I don't think anybody should be going through these times and be afraid to mention what's going on or be ashamed.
Especially now.
Sure.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Like because this is real serious stuff. Yeah. And and that sort of dovetails into something else he talked about. Have you heard of blue zones?
I don't know.
There are these areas of study. I recently read about this.
No, I do. Like Japan is a blue zone. Yeah, of course.
Certain little pockets in Japan, Italy, where these people, I don't know, live to like 110. Like I'm exaggerating here, but so of course, when they started to see this over decades, they were like, we got to study these people. What's in the water over there? Like, why are they, whatever they seem to be. So of course they study these people. I think there's pockets in Italy. There's pockets in Japan, to your point. There's other places, even some rural parts of China, some parts of South Africa. But again, the one thing they had in common was that people lived longer and happier, healthier lives. So of course, was diet important?
Yes.
Was it the number one?
No.
Was exercise important?
Yes.
Was it the number one?
No.
The number one determinant of these long, happy, healthy lives, Peter, was what?
Well, I'm going to say mental health, but there's probably a, you can probably narrow
derived it from connection and social interaction.
Social interaction. Okay.
As he talked about, like when people feel people don't feel they have people who care about them, who need them, who, you know, it translates into, you know, what do I have to live for? And what they have found again and again, this is the science proves that social interaction is very important to our mm-hmm. overall health and long and happy, healthy lives. We're, of course, not in a period where we're going to be able to do that the way we used to do it in person, going to concerts, going to games, going to bars, going to restaurants, friends' places. But as Dr. Rosenthal talked about, it's not the same, but making sure that you make it a part of each day to connect with people, even if it's through Zoom, mm-hmm. can be a big part of this.
Yeah. And also to, you know, get creative.
Yes.
Don't stop using your brain. Like, use this time. Don't just sit there, pull the covers over your head. Mm-hmm. Like, get out of bed and do something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, learn poetry.
Write a book, as Dr. Rosenthal talked about. And again, I know there's some people who say, yeah, easy for you. You know, I have these certain whatever. Everybody's situation is different. So you don't want to be, you know, sort of putting out like one size fits all solutions. But the one thing that we can control are some of these things: exercise, how you eat, connecting with people. The other thing that I prescribe to people, schedule laughing in your day, meaning
like real laughing or just like that fake laughing where people just go, ha, ha, ha.
People do that.
Yeah.
And talk about, I've been in yoga classes where people do that. I was filled with rage. Now that's my own personal problems, probably a little too much information. It doesn't necessarily work for everybody, but for me, whatever I'm going to be doing, whether it's working, whether it's doing these other things as part of your regimen, I also schedule like watch, whatever it is, something that you know is your go-to that you're going to laugh for half an hour. Some stupid show, dumb videos, whatever it is, but make sure you get that sort of going because it's actually literally, as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
It is. And if you want to hear more of our conversation with Dr. Rosenthal and you're watching the video podcast on YouTube, maybe you're switching back and forth from a bunch of funny cat videos to get your laughing.
Excellent.
Well, what you can do is you can click on the link below and go to the extended audio version. Now, if you're already listening to the audio podcast, well, stick around. We're going to be back with more about health risks of isolation. And we'll talk about your emotional intelligence with Dr. Rosenthal. So don't touch that dial. If that is all the time you have for us today, well, thanks for watching. And we hope you learned something.
Mm-hmm. And we really do hope. And we know it's tough. So obviously reach out to the What If Discuss community on Facebook. Also, there's a bunch of other people there. I mean, whoever, as he talked about, whoever, whatever you got to find in terms of some group to sort of support you, you know, now's the time.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you very much for watching What If Discussed. Welcome back to What If Discussed. We're joined by Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal. Dr. Rosenthal is a world-renowned researcher and psychiatrist. He led the team who first described seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. He's also a sought-after public speaker and best-selling author who's known for his innovative research and inspirational writings. Dr. Rosenthal, you've experimented with a variety of treatments and methodologies in trying to find the best ways to help people deal with seasonal affective disorder and other mental health challenges. At this point in your career, where is the data or the research pointing in dealing with mental health issues?
Well, that's a very broad question, mental health issues. If we start with seasonal affective disorder, just to keep it circumscribed and specific.
Yeah.
The treatment with light has turned out to be very, very helpful. It's stood the test of time. increased bright light exposure for people who have trouble in the wintertime has proven to be the mainstay of treatment for seasonal affective disorder. The key there is that the light has got to be bright enough. The morning is best. You've got to have enough of it. And there are many commercially available fixtures these days that will suit everybody's space that they have available, needs, and pocketbook. So I think that that's been a very rewarding aspect. And there are other things one can do for seasonal affective disorder, some that are absolutely free, like regular exercise or good diet. Meditation has turned out to be very helpful because it reduces stress. And when you're dealing with seasonal affective disorder, really there are three factors that bring it on. Vulnerability, probably on a genetic basis, a lack of light, which typically happens in the winter, and stress. Stress is the third leg of the three-legged stool. So the light is great. The reduction of stress is great. Something really very delightful and startling that came out of the light is how many other things it can actually help. It can help non-seasonal depression, strangely enough. People with eating disorders, people with rhythm disorders who can't fall asleep and wake at the normal times, because it turns out that light and dark are very important cues for sleeping and waking. So that's been a very nice outcome of the research. And then I've also looked at other ways of helping people without necessarily using medicine. I have nothing against medicine. I give out a lot of medicines as needed. But I always love to do things without medicines, if that's possible.
One of the things that was talked about a lot, and something in your field, I'm sure, that has come up certainly over at least the last 5 years, probably longer, was the issue of loneliness. And you mentioned it earlier, isolation, et cetera. The UK actually created a Minister of Loneliness a few years back. The former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy under Obama famously dedicated his post-Surgeon General career to loneliness and called it potentially, as far as life expectancy, the new smoking, and that it could actually be more detrimental than smoking and obesity. This is stuff that's probably familiar to you. So that's pre-COVID. And then we find ourselves in this particular situation that we're in now with probably extenuating circumstances long term, probably more isolation. You mentioned it earlier, people working from home, studying from home, perhaps less of that very important social interaction. How then do you, as a professional, counsel people on that particular future, which was already a concern?
Well, this is a great question and a great subject. In fact, there have been studies done, population studies, which have shown increases in deaths of certain demographics. They call them deaths of despair because they can't really pinpoint anything else that's going on. But I think what holds us into the world to a large degree is the extent to which people care about us. They seek us out, they love us, they show us attention, they ask for things from us, and it's that web of being needed and being loved that holds us in our lives. And when that atrophies and whittles away, sometimes people think, what am I living for? And a lot of times, people who commit suicide, yes, they often have depression, which is a fundamental cause, or alcoholism or whatever. But ultimately, often what I find and what has been found is the sense that nobody really cares if they live or they die. That is that last thread that gets cut and causes them to end their lives.
You talk a lot about the importance of managing your emotions, but obviously, just like we're saying, that can sometimes be hard to put into practice, especially if that's how you've been wired, you know, most of your life. How can someone really begin to change their emotional intelligence, and especially during these times?
I wrote a book a way back called The Emotional Revolution, which was all about the growing science of emotions. On the one hand, there are all these scientific discoveries, but on the other hand, there are all these techniques that have been evolved for people to access and do better at managing their emotions. One simple one is writing them down, writing what you feel most deeply about and think most clearly about, just for 20 minutes, four times over a week or two, has the most unbelievable benefits, even lasting 6 to 8 months. This is all scientifically done by my colleague, James Pennybaker, in Austin, Texas. So a simple thing like that can make such a difference. Simply asking somebody else, how am I coming across, can really give you a lot of information, because a lot of times people don't tell you if you don't ask them, or seeing what works and what doesn't work. You know, what kind of, you know, be flexible. Be your own best scientist. Look at your emotions, try to understand your emotions. Of course, there are many things. One thing that I'm fascinated about poetry is that in a very, very short number of words and lines, very deep feelings are expressed, and they can become a prism or a lens through which somebody can understand what he's feeling, and more important, what he can do about it, or she. So I think there's so many ways, but the first thing is you have to want to. You have to want to understand your emotions. You have to realize how important emotions are in your success or failure, and more important, even in your happiness. Because if you pick up other people's emotions, understand your own emotions, it gives you so much more flexibility in your dealing with people and with the world in general.
Yeah, there really doesn't seem to be anything that's around the idea of growth, of rewiring, of whatever you want to call it, self-help, whatever terminology people that use, even 12-step programs, that doesn't begin with some sort of period of self-observation. And that's such an important part. I like how you said that. Be your own scientist. And because the scientist part of that implies objectivity. It's interesting. We can be so objective about other people, right? We can even be very knowledgeable and smart about analyzing their situations. Then when we're in it and it's polluted with our own, we don't see it because of our own emotions. How can somebody sort of create that separation, almost like there's two people functioning, and then be the observer as well as the observed?
Well, one thing is perhaps getting into therapy or counseling, because then you have another person to give you feedback. A client of mine came into my office after reading The Emotional Revolution. He came into my office after reading The Emotional Revolution and said, you know, I'm having problems with understanding my emotions. Can you help me? And so we have embarked on this journey together. Let me give you a little example. You know how you furrow your brow when you're upset or angry or sad? There are these two vertical slits that come up in the middle. Well, my colleague, Dr. Eric Finzi, who's a dermatologist, approached me for a study. And the study was, we think that this is causing you to feel depressed. What would happen if we paralyzed those lines with Botox? And we did a study together with depressed people where they either had the Botox or the salt water control, and sure enough, the Botox was superior. So our bodies often give us a lot of clues about our emotions. If you look in the mirror and you see that crease between your eyebrows or you're frowning, that can really be causing a lot of your emotional upset. And just smiling, even if you don't feel like it, can actually make you feel better. There's a lot of data, or laughing. So something to think about.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, it's essentially physiologically tricking your brain into believing you're happy if you're smiling.
Wow, I'm so a big smiler.
Yeah. Before we let you go, maybe 30 seconds here. We've talked about it before, but let's say somebody walks into your office right now. They've already experienced sad in the past. Seasonal affective disorder. Now they've heard we might be locked down over the course of the winter. They are maybe in a panic. What do you tell them about what they can do to be able to deal with this, you know, again, very difficult period?
Well, Great question. The first thing I would say is get outdoors as much as possible. Walk outside, even if it's a cloudy day, you're going to get a lot of sunlight shining through the crowd. You're going to get a lot of sunlight off of those clouds. So feel free to walk. I walk every day in the winter, so I recommend it to everybody. Get more indoor lights. You can get light fixtures, light therapy fixtures off the web very easily. And try them in the morning. And if you don't find any benefit, you can send them right back for a full refund. So keep the packaging. The light boxes shouldn't be teeny weeny ones. They should be at least 1 foot square. And don't stare at them for long periods of time. Just have them in front of you. And the morning is the best time in terms of getting bangs for your bucks. And so more light, walking outside, exercise is very important, some meditative practice. Don't linger under the covers in the morning. You're going to want to pull the covers over your face, but that's the worst thing to do. Get less light that way. Pull yourself up, make yourself do stuff. You'll feel better for it. And connect. Connect with other people, I would say.
Yeah, great stuff. And I mean, you know, all things that are important at any time in life, but especially where we find ourselves now. So those, you know, maybe sometimes for people, those are luxuries. Oh, I'm going to get to the bam. All of a sudden we find our time ourselves. You said it earlier, Peter, necessity is the mother of all invention.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Well, personally, now you have, you know, some things that are available to you, tools, you know, good eating, exercise, the free endorphins from movement, getting outside, the free, you know, vitamin D from the sun and all of those things, because your health matters. Obviously, in this case, it always matters. But in this case, it's you know, we're at a time where that's no longer something I think you can procrastinate on. Great stuff, Dr. Rosenthal. We really appreciate you joining us again. Quickly, where can what's the website again?
NormanRosenthal.com will give you all my books. And all my social media connections. Check me out. And I just love helping people and I'm thrilled to be on your show. It's a wonderful show. Congratulations to you for keeping this going and getting good information out to the public. It's really a service.
Oh, thank you.
And likewise, we appreciate you because, you know, you've helped people today. So great stuff. Good luck. And we'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks, doctor.
Lots of luck to you guys. Bye-bye.
Well, we talked off the top that, of course, what if discussed often, we're delving into deep, complex scientific issues. Definitely science today, the science of psychiatry, psychology, of mental, you know, neurological understanding, etc. But, of course, we've also talked before about, you know, wanting to leave people feeling aspirational and hopeful, as I think we do on many episodes.
I hope so, yeah.
And this is one of those cases where it's actually not just a hope, it's... You know, in this case, you really hope people left here with some tools, practical tools to deal with what's obviously, you know, a long winter ahead for a lot of people in many ways.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting one of those light therapy things. And I know it's, I'm not experiencing SAD. I probably have in the past. But just as a preventative measure, like getting some light on you all day long. And it was interesting what he said. It wasn't just like, I've always thought it was just for seasonal affective disorder, but he mentions it's for, it's not just for SAD. It's for all depressions.
Yeah. And just feel like, I mean, light, dark. I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? The more light in that whatever.
Yeah. And all that he said about circadian rhythm and getting it, like your cells need, you know, a rhythm and they need light. And there's certain things that nature has always provided and we're starting to ignore. Mm-hmm. And that's harming, in my humble opinion.
And I agree 100%. There are areas of study and scientists who are now looking more into that body clock and understanding that, of course, there's a relationship between that, our sleep cycles, how we feel, how it translates to the best. We're just starting to understand it, I think, more. So it's shifting away from kind of astrology or what some people might call pseudoscience to, oh, no, that's 2 + 2 = 4 stuff. We got to get on that.
Well, and the other thing that goes along right along with that is that humans are a social species. Right? We cannot handle loneliness. We must be around other people. Yeah. So, you know, prepare yourself for the winter. And he gave some great tips on keeping connected with people and what you can do to, you know, on a daily basis, just sort of get together with mm-hmm. people or think of things that you can do.
Reach out to people, just do it and do it in a way that you've actually sort of scheduled it almost as part of your day. It is something that I hope the people who are making these decisions at the highest level, who are obviously focused on dealing with the pandemic, are equally focused on, as we get more data and more information on these other things. You don't want to be in a situation in a couple of years where you're like, you know what, we over-indexed on one area and the health ramifications of depression, anxiety, suicide, et cetera, other health issues that we didn't focus on end up being, you know, outstripping the health problems and deaths from COVID. And I think your best coming up with parallel strategies that deal with this important part that we're talking about, which is human interaction isn't just a luxury. It's who we are.
Necessity. Yeah.
It's a necessity. It's and he did mention transcendental meditation. I mm-hmm. think there's a bunch of different kinds of meditation. So just try something, you know, sitting quietly and silently is meditation. Breathing is meditation. I've never really tried transcendental meditation, but to your point, I'm inspired by your decision to try the light therapy. I'm going to try transcendental meditation and see if there's something there. And then maybe we can come back in a future episode and let people know how it worked.
Okay.
That way, if, you know, we don't mind being your guinea pigs here.
Yeah. I liked a lot of the other stuff you said about understanding emotions. And a lot of it was, I felt it was sort of like taking yourself out of the moment, right? You're going through life as you, observing other people, but never observing yourself. Mm-hmm. But take a moment, take yourself out of the moment, you know, write down your emotions, sort of mm-hmm. like stop thinking about your emotions and write them down separately. It's a self-observation.
Personal inventory, I think, as they call it in the 12-step world. Okay, and that's an important, I mean, it's exactly that. If you're not sort of looking at what you're doing and asking questions as to why did I react that way? Why am I super heightened by that? Why does that trigger me? You certainly don't have a chance to actually correct it.
Yeah, he mentioned, you know, take a friend aside and say, you know, how am I doing here?
Yes.
What do you see in me? So I'm going to ask you right now, what do you see in me? What do you
think? I see a guy that's probably up for a shave. But no, outside of that, I agree that, I mean, you are somebody that generally seems to have a positive demeanor. I don't think you get too low at any given time. I don't want to speak for you.
I mean, not necessarily for myself, but that can be a front for a lot of people as well, a coping mechanism as well.
So
not to denigrate people who always have a happy face, because it could also have a mental disability.
It's a mask in some cases, which is an ironic term to be using in these times. We've said it before, we'll say it again. Strange, unprecedented times. But you mentioned it earlier. Don't be reactive, be proactive. There's things you can start to do now as we sit here in the middle of October that'll better prepare you and arm you to be able to deal with, you know, what could be tough times.
I agree. And as I said before, too, mental health is health. Don't be ashamed if you have some depression. Tell somebody, seek out some help. Mm-hmm. Just talk to somebody. Thanks again to Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal for joining us today on What If Discuss. If you want more What If, well, sign up for the What If Explorers Club newsletter. There's tons of cool science stuff. You can find out what we're doing behind the scenes here, you know, what videos we're working on, what the team is up to, who's growing a beard and who's not. To sign up, go to whatifshow.com. That's it for today. For Richard Garner and myself, we'll talk to you next time on What If Discussed.